The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. As we go through these trying, difficult times, it's important that we keep always in mind that the God that we worship is on the throne. He rules and reigns according to His pleasure. He is our hope from day to day. I encourage you to write and let us know that you've listened to the broadcast, if the messages are a blessing to you, and if you'd like to help keep the program on the air. You can write us at Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Or you can go to our website, baptistbiblehour.org, and make a donation there. What's on your mind? What have you been thinking about thus far this morning? What occupied your mind for the most part over the past week? What kind of thoughts do you have? We have some biblical instruction about how we should think. Philippians chapter 4, we read beginning with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. A few weeks ago, I brought a message entitled, The Peace of God. And when we got down to verse 8, we were looking at this passage in Philippians chapter 4. When we got to verse 8, I said, there's not time to expound on it today, and we'll come back to it later. So that's what we're doing today. But let's go back to the fourth verse so you get the context, the setting of this. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In that message, we first pointed out a problem identified. problem is that we're prone to worry. That's what we're told not to do, to rejoice in the Lord always. Secondly, we saw that a solution was presented, and that is making our request known to God, rejoicing in the Lord. Third, a blessing received, and that is God-given peace. Now, in verse 6, we see that prayer is important. Make your request known. Come before God with supplication, prayer, with thanksgiving. So it is extremely important. But now when we get to this 8th and 9th verse, we see that prayer is not enough. Now that statement might be a little startling to some people, given thought that if I've prayed about something, that ought to be adequate. How many times I've talked to a person who was struggling with a particular problem, and I said, what have you done about it? I've prayed about it. What else? Like, there was nothing else to do. Well, indeed, there may be certain situations where that's all you can do. But if there is instruction given in God's Word as to something else that you need to do, then prayer is vital, but prayer is not enough. And that's what we see here. We see that it is important that we think right. There are many, many biblical admonitions about thinking right. What do you think about? What's on your mind? Psalm 19 and the 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth, the thing that I speak, and the meditation of my heart. What am I thinking about? So the real test of our thinking is whether it is acceptable to the Lord. You may say, I'm my own person. I'm entitled to think about whatever I want to think about. I don't want anybody to even challenge me or question it. But if you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you recognize him as Lord of your life, you know that he's involved in every detail of your life. Not just what you do, but what you think about. So it should be our concern that the meditation of our heart are acceptable in his sight. When you give that the test up front, how many of your thoughts would immediately receive approval on that basis, acceptable in God's sight? Are there a few things that come to mind that you've thought about even recently that you know were not acceptable at all? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, great emphasis is given in Scripture to how we think, to our minds, what goes on in our mind. On one hand, there is this admonition, do not be conformed to the world. Don't fit in with the world. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. So don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How are you going to be transformed? How are you going to be changed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to do that? Do not be influenced by the thinking of this present culture. There's so much of the thinking that's prevalent today, which is diametrically opposed to biblical truth. Don't be conformed, either in your thinking or your conduct, to that which is touted as being acceptable by the world in which you're living. Your mind needs to be renewed, and how is that going to happen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, the literal rendering of that, let the word of Christ dwell in you, it says, let it be at home in you. That means that you have read the word, meditated on the word, heard the word preached till it has literally become a part of you. It's at home in you. So when a crisis arises, when a temptation is confronted, you immediately think biblically because you've saturated yourself with God's word. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It has a remarkable effect as it is then applied and utilized in our thinking by the Holy Spirit of God. And then we look at another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Casting it down. Don't be influenced by it. Don't follow it. Every imagination, every high thing, how's it identified? It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if it's contrary to the knowledge God has given us in his word, it is to be rejected. And here's the positive side of it. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. Being in harmony with his truth in a way that will be to the honor of his name. So when he's talking about casting down imaginations and every high thing, the list could be quite long. But whether it's the speculations of men, often making assumptions without any valid information to base it on, human opinions, how sensitive people are today about their thought, their opinion. In many cases, it's difficult to have a reasonable discussion with somebody. As soon as they find out you disagree with them, they become combative. They are unhappy about the situation, that you don't immediately concur with their point of view. But if we're going to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, we must not allow human opinion, which is opposed to the truth of God, to influence us. All the philosophies of men, even religious concepts. Somebody will say, "Well, I think there's good in all religions." Well, there's an awful lot of error out there. There's an awful lot of teaching that's in conflict with the plain, basic doctrine of the Word of God. Every lofty idea that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, no matter how popular it may be, no matter how many people in some position of authority or leadership espouses it and says, "This is good, this is right. We've come to this conclusion, we've researched the subject, we think this is good for you." If it's not in harmony with God's word, then you are to absolutely reject it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not," when it's talking about this walking, it's talking about your whole way of life. Don't you live like other Gentiles are. "Walk in the vanity of their mind." So he's saying the way they think is empty, it's vain. Don't be influenced by it. Don't live like they are living. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Now, that's a rather vivid description, is it not? Of those who are a part of this world system, who do not know God, who do not acknowledge him, who do not embrace his truth, their understanding is darkened. They many times will present themselves as though they have full and complete understanding of whatever subject you want to talk about. But God's word says they're in the dark. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They boast of having great insight, great knowledge. But God's word describes these who have left God out of the picture, who have rejected the truth of his word, as being ignorant and because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of men's hearts is certainly on display in the world around us. Right here in this passage, Ephesians chapter 4, talks about some of the issues. lasciviousness, which is lust, relating even to pornography, which is a major problem with many today. Uncleanness of whatever sort it might be. Greediness. Oh, the greedy, self-seeking spirit that prevails with so many. Any kind of lewdness. You spend time looking at a video or a television program or something on the internet which stirs lustful thoughts, then you're walking according to the course of this world. Rather than rejecting it, rather than avoiding that which leads to temptation, you put yourself in its path. And then, of course, there are those who blatantly say, well, I just don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. I think when you die, that's the end of it. Don't believe there's anything after death. Consequently, whatever I do in the meantime, it's my business and nobody has the right to interfere. Or a person may say, well, I believe in God, but my God would never punish anybody. As soon as you start talking about God's wrath, God hating evil, God punishing the wicked, they will object and say, that can't be. That's not my God. My God is a God of love. Well, the God that we worship, the true and living God, is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. But he's a God that is holy. Consequently, he hates sin, and he will punish sin. See the popular thinking of our time that what God's word says about marriage is outdated. So we're going to reject God's plan. In fact, if you talk about what the Bible teaches on most any subject, you can be accused of hate speech. You're talking about something that's disturbing me. Talking about something that's not fair because of their own point of view. In fact, there is one general way of thinking that's being promoted in many circles today, that if you present something to me that I disagree with, you make me feel unsafe. And it's not right that you treat me that way. I should not be made to feel unsafe. Therefore, you don't have a right to say it. There have been professors in universities that have been reprimanded because they said something that made the student feel unsafe. Whatever happened to the idea of free speech? It's interesting that people that take one point of view want free speech for their ideas, but want to deny it to anybody that disagrees with them. See the blindness, the confusion in humanistic thinking. When it was decided that liquor stores could be open, but churches had to be closed. Elective surgeries had to be canceled, but abortion was permitted. Social distancing required, except in case of riot, and then it's permissible to get a little closer. You see the inconsistency of the thinking that is espoused in many circles today. One lady, a professor in a university up in the East, said that we're living in a dangerous time because of the effect of COVID-19, that children are at home with their parents and parents will be teaching them their own set of values. Well, wouldn't it be expected that parents would teach their children what they believe is right? In fact, that's their God-given responsibility. The Lord requires it. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Another thing that can certainly be troubling as far as the things you think about, that if you are pondering and thinking at great length about the news of the day, you're not going to have much peace. This whole passage is talking about enjoying the peace of God, not given to worry. Well, if you just sat there hour after hour, as I understand on some of these television stations, that that's all they do is run the news 24 hours a day, you could certainly become depressed and confused. And when you find out that a good bit of the news today is not just clear news, it's editorialized, as the one delivering it will make their point of view clear by the tone of their voice or a few commenting words that are added to it. Now, it's all right to be up on what's going on. You don't want to stick your head in the sand like the ostrich and pretend that there's nothing wrong. There are major problems in America today. We ought to be concerned about them and praying that God will deliver us. But if you become absorbed thinking about those problems and thinking about what you heard on the news, much of which may have been totally distorted, you're going to be full of worry. The confused thinking goes along with the idea that the laws of civil government can be ignored if I don't personally like them. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." That doesn't mean that there is any government that is perfect, or there is no one working within the realm of the government that is perfect. There are faults, there are failings, but the whole idea of a structure of government to protect people is biblical. It's something that God arranged. Didn't just come about because there was a planning session and people said, how are we going to function here? And decided we might ought to have a government. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, there's some more subtle things that might trouble you, cause you to worry rather than to have peace. Just think about a few of the things that you worry about regularly. We've read here in verse 8 a list of things Paul says we ought to think about. But some people, instead of using that list, they have their own list. They have their worry list. And they worry over the same thing over and over again. The fact is, worry is a sin. Worry never fixed anything. And when you worry, that means you're not trusting God. Well, that list of things that grows longer all the time that you worry about ought not to be the thing that is the focus of your attention and that which dominates your thinking. Or sometimes a person will begin to think, you know, life just isn't fair. I just have come out on the short end of things. People just haven't treated me right. My, you become consumed with that thought. You can drag yourself down in the mulling grubs quickly. You just say, poor old me. I just have it more difficult than anybody. If you have the right spirit and the right attitude, we have to say with the patriarch Jacob, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. So any blessing I have is more than what I deserve. I have no right to complain. Or begin to think about situations that you resent. Some things that happened to you maybe recently, maybe a long time ago, and you still haven't gotten over it. You still think about it. Or you may be thinking about people that you resent. This person hurt my feelings. This person troubled me a long time ago. I remember counseling with a lady that obviously had a problem with anger. She was angry at her father, who long since had died, but she was still going over the details of why she hated him. She hated a number of her relatives and a number of other people, and she espoused all of that. I said, well, you know, it's no wonder that you talk about being miserable and depressed because you're full of anger. She says, preacher, don't you talk to me about my anger. I've been to professional counselors years. And the last one I went to told me, all you've got left is your anger, and don't give it up. I said, well, that may be the reasoning of human beings, but it's not the truth of God. God says to put away anger and to have a forgiving spirit. But if you ponder over and over again all the hurts that you have experienced in life, your thinking is not going to be what it ought to be. So there are some consequences to wrong thinking. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of his counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Because of the fact that the people hated knowledge, hated the truth of God, hated his message, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want any part of his counsel. They rejected it. They despise my reproof. So what's the result of it? They're going to eat the fruit of their own way. They're going to be filled with their own devices. They're going to suffer the consequences. Trouble. Trouble because you give in to worry instead of trusting God. So now let's look at this think list. In this 8th verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we find Paul's think list. This is what he says we ought to think about. First of all, think about that which is true. Whatsoever things are true. Now, Satan is a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, says, I'm concerned about this. Satan is a deceiver. He beguiled Eve. She sincerely thought things were going to be better instead of worse. And I'm concerned that your minds might not be corrupted, turned away from the simplicity, from the basic truth that there is in Jesus Christ. God and his word are true. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we want to think about something that's true. Where are we going to go? We go to God's word. We can have absolute confidence in it. We've gone into some detail talking about Satan's devices, and certainly it is evident in the culture in which we live today that Satan is at work, blinding and deceiving many. So it's so important that God's people recognize the absolute authority of Scripture and that we understand what Jesus prayed when he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. May God bless us to think right, to use Paul's think list in our thinking from day to day. Now, until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.